over again, the Bible mentions the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned over 800 times in Scripture. In fact, the Spirit of God is mentioned in the very second verse of the entire Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." This word that's translated as spirit in the Old Testament is the word ruach. Very literally, it means a wind or a breath, but not a normal breath. It means a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. The Holy Spirit comes with power. In the New Testament, the Greek word that's translated as spirit is the word pneuma. It means a wind, a current of air, a blast of breath. In the Old Testament times, the Spirit of God would actually descend upon people, and then it would often depart. You can read very clearly, the Spirit of God was with Saul, and then would leave Saul. The same with David. When David sinned against God with Bathsheba, he cried out to God, "Please, don't take your spirit from me." In the New Testament, though, once Jesus left, he sent us his Holy Spirit. And for those who are believers in Christ, the Holy Spirit will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. In the New Testament, you can see the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove. You can see the Holy Spirit falling on the people of God at Pentecost, empowering them to speak in other tongues and do all sorts of miraculous works. You see the Holy Spirit empowering people with spiritual gifts to live a supernatural life in a very natural world. And you see the Holy Spirit giving people the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So many people live a spiritless life when God wants you to live a spirit-filled and spirit-powered life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So in the next this week and next week, we will be talking about the Holy Ghost, and we are tying that with a little mid-year prayer and fasting. So if you walked in here, did everyone get our prayer and fasting booklet? Every year in the middle of the year, kind of like end of winter, we do a 3 days prayer and fasting as a church. And it is exciting because this year we have Eileen Fabregas, one of our prophetess from Every Nation World, not just Philippines, but she's renowned in the Every Nation, in our Every Nation ministry. And she'll be with us taking next week's sermon on the Holy Ghost. Okay. Well, I was brought up in Southeast Asia. Okay. And if you are from that part of the world, if you know that part of the world, it's a lot of spiritual stuff happening there, right? It's spiritual awareness. In fact, I did a little Google. You can even go on a little spiritual tour. I know Pastor Richard is preparing for his, you know, little tour in Europe. But if you can actually join a tour going across Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia on a spiritual experience. And I'm not talking about just one kind of spirit. We have all kinds, right? Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, spirit of earth, wind, and fire. Well, it's true, you know. Everything that we do in Southeast Asia, if you're not a Christian, it is a very spiritual area. So for me, when I was growing up, I remember my mom, when I was young, like really young, okay, my mom would take me along and to I don't know where we go, but and I need to, you know, go to the toilet. And it's not easy to find toilets at some places, you know. So my mom will say, okay, let's go to the bush. Stand behind the tree. Why are you laughing? I bet a lot of you have done that before. Yeah? Dino? Right? And she said, just before you start, say, excuse me, spirit. Excuse me. Please excuse me, spirit. I need to wee-wee. And I would do that. I would say, excuse me, spirit. I need to. And then I'll go along with my business. And even when my mom is not around with me, and if I have to go behind a bush or behind a tree, I always remember that. I would say, excuse me, I need to. So that was me. I'm aware of the spiritual things. So when I became a Christian, it was easy for me to relate when I learned about the Holy Spirit. You know, I quickly gained an understanding because it's not weird to me. But some of us, we find that the Holy Spirit is a little bit weird. Right? It's like, we know God the Father because, you know, we can relate to the Father. We can see our Father. I'm a Father. We have the dads here. All right? And we talk a lot about Jesus and we've seen pictures of Jesus. Right? The perfect, wavy, blonde hair guy. Blue eyes. That's what Hollywood tells us, right? This Jesus. Wow, I guess metrosexual starts from there. Girls, can you just look at me and not up there? But when it comes to the Holy Ghost, we are like, nah, I can't understand it. It's just too much. It's a spirit. I don't see it. There's no picture of it, you know. Even the banner that we use was like a fiery dove. It was like, is that really the Holy Spirit? It's just too much for my intellectual mind. But you know, Pastor Kevin York says that sometimes as a church, we tend to talk too much about the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes we just totally avoid talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, churches often fall into two ditches when they lose their balance and run off the road. The ditch on the left is weird. Okay? It's like everything is about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Your son fell down and scraped his knees. Like, I bind you in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit. Take away the scrap knee. Or if you burn your dinner like me, last week, I burned my dinner. I was like, Holy Spirit, bind the spirit of burning dinner. It just got weird, right? Everything is like Holy Spirit. But on the other side, we don't talk about it. We avoid it, right? And the ditch on the right is dead. Some churches are so experience-driven in a quest to become spirit-filled that they become weird. Others are so devoid of the spirit that they are dead. Okay, it's like, you talk about the Holy Spirit. You talk about the HS word. We don't talk about him in the church. It's just too weird. Wow. But today I want, this week and next week, I want to try to bring you to a biblical understanding of who the Holy Ghost is. Of who the Holy Spirit is. Being truly spirit-filled and spirit-empowered will keep us out of both ditches. Okay? We need to find the balance. Okay? Can we just pray? Holy Ghost, come and be with us as we talk about you. Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will open up our eyes, open up our spirit as we hear your word. On what you have to say about the Holy Spirit. Father, help us, O Lord, Father, to lay down every perception that we may have, whether we have overemphasized or underemphasized the Holy Spirit, and let us have a biblical understanding as we approach this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at our text. John 14, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. This, in the context of this text, Jesus was having his last supper with his disciples just before he was going to be betrayed and going to be crucified. They were having a meal. And he was telling the disciples of that he has to go away. And then the disciples were like, oh, do you really need to go? He said, yeah, I need to go. But don't worry, I will ask the Father to send you a helper. And, you know, so Jesus was comforting them. The thing that is very interesting in this scripture, if you take a look, Jesus referred to the helper, which if you read on, you'll find that it's the Holy Spirit. It refers to it, to the Holy Spirit as a him, a he. Okay, not an it. Okay, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not like some kind of floating stuff that is that we can't feel or anything. But Jesus is literally referring to the Holy Spirit as a person. It's part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not God. It's not the Father. No. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. The Holy Spirit is a distinct person by himself. But God, the Father, is fully God. Jesus, the Son, is fully God. And the Holy Spirit is also fully God. And some of you are looking at me like, oh, what are you talking about? I know it's kind of hard to understand. But some things, if we can understand everything about God, you know, it makes us like quite equal. But just trust me, when we talk about the Trinity, Father, fully God, the Son, Jesus, is fully God, the Holy Spirit, as a person, is fully God. Okay? And then, remember in that video, that guy, the pastor over there, he was saying that when God created man in his own image, okay, so who was God talking to? In our image. He said, let's create man in our image. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to the angels. He was talking to Jesus. He was talking to the Holy Spirit because, you know, he said, let's create man in our own image. Look at your neighbor. Okay, look at you. Just turn around, be a little bit awkward. Okay? And say, hey, that's the image of God. You want to know how God looks like? Look at your neighbor. That's the image of God. Oh, there's so much stuff happening up front here. Wow. But, you know, even me sometimes, when I think about my wife, I'm mistaken her as an angel. Oh, well, because I'm an Ed Sheeran fan, right? I believe what he says. Because Ed Sheeran says that, I have faith in you. Now I see an angel in front of me. I don't deserve this, but you look perfect to me. Oh, she's not here today. All right, getting back to the sermon. Whew. So Jesus, I'm lost in my thoughts. I'm still thinking about my wife. I'm sorry. Anyway, the Holy Spirit is a person. Yes, that's what I want to say. He has emotions. He loves you. And the Bible even says that you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve something that's not a person, right? You grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. And you can even lie to the Holy Spirit. Have you tried lying to God? It doesn't work. He always finds out. Just like my kid asked me, how did you know, Dad? I'm the dad. So when Jesus says that the helper will, that the Father will give us another helper, God is literally giving us another person. Okay, not anyone less, but full. Okay, and the word helper here, in Greek, the original meaning means parakletos. Parakletos, it means someone that comes alongside. Okay, that's the original meaning. And it literally means that someone will come alongside to be your advocate. Okay, if you sometimes you find that you do not know what to pray or what to say to God or what to say to another person, the Holy Spirit will do it for you. All right, He will help you. The Holy Spirit, it's your counselor. Okay, He will come alongside and give you counsel, wise decision, wisdom to make decisions. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Sometimes you're feeling a little bit down, stressed. You can feel that when you spend time with God and you feel the embrace of the Holy Spirit, just comforting you, giving you the peace. You know, Jesus is literally saying that I am literally giving you a friend to be your advocate, your counselor, your comforter, and your helper. Jesus goes as far as to say that in chapter 16, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him," again, him, the Holy Spirit, "to you." Wow, an advantage. I don't know about you. If you ask me, Jesus or the Holy Spirit, you know, even the disciples, they spent 3 years with Jesus in person, right? And they started off as some naive dudes, and then they grew up to be dads. Another hit there. But, and then towards the end, Jesus said, "Sorry, I'm going. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." If I'm one of them, I'm like, if you ask me to choose between Jesus after spending, like, you know, friendship, seeing him, eating with him, getting champ talk from him, my initial thought is, I actually prefer Jesus, right? But Jesus said, it's an advantage. Can you imagine having Jesus with you right now? Okay, it's like, if I have my man flu, okay, Jesus was like, "Heal in the name of Jesus." Oh, in my own name. And I was like, "Oh, I'm healed." Right? Or if you have only a half cup of rice, or you're like the Mabasas, always having people in coming into their home, and you only have half cup of rice, Jesus multiply it, and they have unlimited rice to serve their guests. That's how they advertise their hosting. Unlimited rice at the Mabasas home. Did you have Jesus in your home to multiply your rice? Okay, or you have Lassie, all right, the dog. You got run over by the car. All right, you're like, "Oh." And Jesus said, "Rise, Lassie, in my name." And Lassie like, woo. Lassie rise up. And if your cat got run down by the car, and Jesus said, "I will do the funeral for the cat right now." Sorry, I'm not a cat person. So why is there an advantage? All right, why is there an advantage? Let us look back to the previous scripture. It says, Jesus says, "I will send you, the Father will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Think about it. Isn't it amazing to have Holy Spirit, fully God, to dwell in us, be with us forever? Amen. Forever. Literally, when you wake up or when you're asleep, the Holy Spirit is in you. That's the advantage that Jesus is talking, you know. You know, sometimes even when we are driving or when we are eating or we're doing our stuff at work, we're stressed, we forget about God, you know, we do all our stuff individually. God is still there. The Holy Spirit is still in every believer. All right? But what does it do? What does the Holy Spirit do? Okay. If Jesus said, "This is your advantage," and He's living in us forever, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? The first thing that the Holy Spirit does is it gives us spiritual gifts, right? It gives us spiritual fruits, okay? Sunday school songs, maybe some of the Sunday school teacher can help me, right? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Okay, I'm not going to sing. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I remember, sometimes when I go through stress or I go through a financial challenging season, a situation, right? As a natural human, I will feel stressed, I'm like worried. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will give you peace. Okay, will give you patience. And sometimes when, your kids is like getting really into you, what is the fruit of the Spirit that I need to pull out? Before I pull out the fruit of love, I need to pull out the love of self-control. I need to pull out the fruit of patience. Then maybe I'll pull out the fruit of love. No, I'm kidding. I always have love for my children. Yes, Ethan, I love you, son. Maybe on the 1st of September, we'll park that aside first, but the second thing that the Holy Spirit gives us is spiritual gift. Okay, we talk about the fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is it gives you spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift that allow you to live supernaturally in this natural world. So what are some of the gifts? Okay, we can see that gift of wisdom, gift of knowledge, a gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles, gift of prophecy. Right? If you look, check a booklet, we have prophetic presbytery happening on the 27th to the 29th of August. Eileen will be prophesying over, try to prophesy as many people as we can on those nights. Distinguish between spirits, the ability to distinguish between spirits, the gifts of tongues, and the gifts of interpretation of tongues. Well, the gifts, I remember, as we were in one business meeting, right? There were a few leaders, and we were talking and debating about a situation, and it just seemed so hard. And I was in that meeting for like 1.5 hours, and it was just so gloomy because everything looked so gloomy. The timeline looks ridiculous. The budget looks ridiculous. People were like throwing questions, asking things, and we all debated with one another. And then suddenly, Pastor Chrissy, she has a real spirit of faith. She just said something like, "What did God say to us when we embark on this?" And then she reminded us of what God said. And she pointed out, suddenly the whole atmosphere in the room was, the gloominess was lifted. The spirit of faith suddenly just come upon us. And everyone in the room is like, "Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right." So sometimes in our natural mind, so even like, us working in the church, we get into our own natural inclination. I try to work out the numbers and it doesn't make sense. And there comes the spirit of faith from Pastor Chrissy. "Alfred," I say, "but no, what did God say?" "Okay, yes, ma'am." I didn't say that. I said, "Wow, that's great." And we need that, all right? We need that. And you can have the spirit of faith to lift somebody up when they're feeling down, all right? Because the Holy Spirit has empowered you to do that. Okay, and if you have the spirit of healing, isn't it wonderful? You go to a hospital, you pray. And I'm not saying that I don't have the spirit of healing, I'm not going to pray. No. You never know when it will manifest, right? You just keep praying. Who would like a little spirit of wisdom? I do. I think most of us do. Maybe Harold, you do not. Mr. Professor. Okay, the third thing that the Spirit brings to us, firstly, spiritual fruits, spiritual gifts, and then spiritual power, okay? And this is what in the book of Acts it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, in the Bible, throughout the Bible, both Old Testament and the New Testament, you can see that the Holy Spirit empowers, gives power to a lot of people. He gives Joshua military power. He gives Joseph the skills to rule over Egypt. He gave two craftsmen, which I can't even remember their name, in the Old Testament to help to build the temple. Okay. Over here, I think one of their names is called Adrian Nuttall. Thanks, Adrian, for always helping. He gives the prophets to speak. Give power to the prophet, the word to the prophets to speak. He gives Gideon, a very timid and shy person, to lead the whole nation. Okay. He gives Peter the power to preach, and many come to know Christ. And he gives Paul to stand before the government, all right, defending his faith. Okay. So throughout the Old Testament to the New Testament, the Holy Spirit has been working, empowering, giving us a supernatural power that we need to overcome situations. Okay. So, spiritual fruits, spiritual gifts, spiritual power. With all this, why are so many believers still, you know, they look no different from the non-believers? Why? We go to work the same. We go to school the same. You know, we get stuck in a meeting and nobody lift up our faith. Right? Our prayer is flat. You know, I prayed. I read the Bible. It's so dull. God is not with me. I don't feel God. We get stressed. We still struggle with fear and anxiety. Okay, exam is tomorrow. I'm nervous. I'm preaching tomorrow. I'm so fearful. That was me yesterday until I pray. And then we're still bound by the same sin. We've been through Freedom Weekend 2011 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, 17 and 18. You can come again next year. Why are we no different from the non-believers? Well, I guess it's because we are living a spiritless life when God wants His children to live a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, and a spirit-led life. Okay, you may know about the Holy Spirit. Now you heard about the Holy Spirit, but you're still living a spirit-less life. This is the analogy that I gave to the man during Victory Weekend. All of us, I believe most of us are believers here. When we come to Jesus, when we gave our life to Jesus and we asked Jesus to come into our heart, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will come to us, right? So at that moment, just visualize with me, it's almost like you pull a power cord and you plug it into the wall. You are connected to God. Right? So you took the power cord and you plugged it into the wall. You are connected to God. God is in you. God lives in you. But to live a spirit-filled life, a spirit-empowered life, and a spirit-led life, you just have to turn on the power. Just, and then the power will start coming through. Okay? That's what God wants us to live, right? God wants us to live a spirit-filled life, not a spiritless life. So why so many of us are still living in a spiritless life? There are many reasons. I'll just give you two today. The first one is, some of us are unaware of the Holy Spirit, like, you know, I just told you about. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, it says, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. Disciples. This is not like there he found some non-believers. These are disciples, people who have been, they know about Jesus Christ, right? And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Well, to be fair, those disciples, they were baptized by John the Baptist. Okay, so they were not at the Pentecost time when the Holy Spirit came upon the other group of disciples. So they found us believers from John the Baptist, and they have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are like that. We you know, for whatever reason, our upbringing in church, our discipleship, we just are not aware that there is a Holy Spirit. Or we heard about Him, but we don't talk about Him. The HS word. No. Right? So there's this whole other world that is available to the believers through the Holy Spirit, but a lot of us just are not aware of it. Okay, it's like me. I used to travel a lot for my work when I was in Malaysia. Every 2 weeks, I would travel to Hong Kong or China for work. So every time when I travel, there's a company policy, right? If your flight is less than 8 hours, you get economy seat. So traveling to Hong Kong, China, it's, you know, less than 8 hours. So I will always get put in an economy seat. And then there was one time I was asked to go to Amsterdam in Europe. I said, I look at it, 12 hours. I book my business class ticket. Ooh. I finally get to walk onto the plane and not turn right, but I actually get to turn left. Right? I was so excited. I was my first business class trip. Okay, I got into that plane, turned left, and it's like I was looking for my seat. You know how in economy class you like, and this time I was walking to the seat. The stewardess was like, "Hello, Mr. Chong. Let me show you to your seat." I was like, "Whoa, I'm Mr. Chong now." All right. So as I sat down, come Fa Gua, like the real goose liver, right? Real satay on a proper plate with proper fork and knife, not plastic. Proper fork and knife. Pastor Richard will appreciate this, all right? A real glass. Can I have some wine? What wine would you like? Ooh. Sorry, I didn't have the wine. But they have champagne. I was like, no. They serve all kind of food, real food, hot. You have a menu to choose from. And then when it's time to sleep, the chair turns into a bed. I was like, wow. You get to lie down straight and real duvet, not one of those economy seats blanket, right? Real duvet, like with proper cover. It's like a whole new world that I have never known. Now, some of you want to go to business class right now, right? Well, maybe just try to save some money. It's ridiculously expensive, but it's like, all the while, I've just economy class. There's a whole new world behind that curtain that I have not known before. And when I've experienced it, I was like, wow. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is not just for the business class believers. It's available for every one of us. Okay? Don't go through the world with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available to every one of us. Amen. He will fill you, direct you, yes, comfort you, guide you, counsel you, yes, convict you. He will empower you. And it's available for all of us. You don't even need to buy a business class ticket. All you need to do is ask. So many of us are living a spiritless life just because we are unaware of the power that's available to us, the gift that is available to us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is in us. The second thing that we may be living a spiritless life is maybe we have been resisting the Holy Spirit. Okay? There are times where the Holy Spirit will prompt a believer to do something and you kind of that person, no, not for me. Talk to that person about God. Say, oh, God, no. Too shy, too embarrassed. Bless that family. Oh, I'm struggling myself and you really want me to give them some food? You know, so we resisted the Holy Spirit. Okay. Other times, you've been doing something wrong and the Holy Spirit prompts you, hey, don't do that. Don't watch that. Be nice to your brother. Be nice to your sister. And you're like, nah, I think I'd rather continue doing what I'm doing. So you hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? Right. Don't jaywalk, but I'm rushing. Don't talk on the phone when you're driving. But I really not need to talk to this person. Sometimes it's common sense, it's not Holy Spirit, but you get my point. So you've been pushing the Holy Spirit, you've been resisting the Holy Spirit. You know, in this scripture, it says, this is Stephen, okay, one of the disciples, a young, bold, courageous disciple, and he was talking to a religious group of people before he gets stoned to death. Okay, and this is what he told the religious people. He said, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you will always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. So even us as believers, religious person, right, we resist the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we resist it so much that our heart become hardened. You know, I have learned through my failures. You know, I'm not perfect. Sometimes I ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit also, but I try my best. Right? Many times I wish I have done what the Holy Spirit told me to. And there was one very clear example in my mind that I can think of right now. I wanted to do something, but the Holy Spirit said, no, I went ahead and I got myself in trouble. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Maybe my pastor knows, but I learned from that, okay? I learned from that, and I bear the consequences of that. So through my failures, I try my best to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But you may ask, how do you know if it's the Holy Spirit or if it's just a voice inside your head? Have you ever wondered that question? How do I know? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm a sinful man. I'm generally selfish in nature. Okay? So if it benefits me, it's probably my own thoughts. Okay, if there's something that I need to do that it benefits just for me or just for my family of five, happy-go-lucky, it's probably just my own thoughts. But if it doesn't benefit me, if benefit others or bring glory to God, I assume it's the Holy Spirit that's prompting me to do that. Okay, if I'm convicted not to do something that is wrong, it's probably the Holy Spirit, okay, knocking on your heart. If I'm led to do something that is good, that's going to be a blessing, it's probably the Holy Spirit. What's the worst that can happen? Is that you have done something good, right? So the worst that can happen, if it's not the Holy Spirit, the worst thing that can happen is you've done something good, you avoided some bad consequences, right? So that's how I will try to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the more you let yourself be led by the Holy Spirit, remember he's a person, he's an advocate, counselor, helper, friend. The more you spend time with the Holy Spirit, the more you can recognize the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I'll just give you an analogy of one of the prompting of the Holy Spirit that I did a few years back. There was a family in our church. They were feeling pretty dejected. Their finances were running low. They were on the verge of giving up their life here in New Zealand, and they just want to move back to their own country. You know, they even struggle to put food on the table. Okay, and I guess the Holy Spirit prompted their connect group to do something for them, because different connect group members, they began to bring food to their home. And I didn't even know about that. You know, I only found out about it much later, but I found out that the connect group members started to bring food to their home and start to bless them. So I was driving home one time, one of the evening after work, I was driving home and I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to give this man a call. I really didn't know. I know they're struggling, but I didn't know what was the extent of the struggle. Okay, so I just gave the person a call. And in the conversation, I found out the extent of their struggle. And then I prayed, I encouraged that person. I can't even remember if I actually did anything practical for them, as in, you know, bring food or, you know, anything of that sort, or give them some money. Or although I would have possibly brought it to the pastoral to get a benevolence for the family. Maybe that's what I did. But I remember during the call, I was just talking to that person, encouraging him, praying for him, you know, remember the promise of God. And that person asked me, well, why is the spiritual family in this church being so nice to us? And I just told him, well, I guess we're just being hands and feet for Jesus. You know, we're just being the extension of Jesus' hands and feet. And the person broke down and cried. And it probably changed their whole spiritual atmosphere in their home, because it lifted their faith that Jesus still cares. Jesus still remembers them, even through their times of challenges. All right, so to me, that phone call was one of the many phone calls that I make as I drive home. I like to make phone calls on my hands-free. You know, just sometimes the Holy Spirit prompt me to call this person, text this person. For me, it's just another phone call. But that phone call transformed that person's family. And now that family, it's established here. They're even one of our connect group leaders. And they are being a hands and feet to other people. So you never know, when you follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, not just what it can do to you, but to the people that God has asked you to touch. You may say, Alfred, you talk about living a spiritless life. How do I want to live a spirit-filled life. How can I do that? Well, if you want to know how to live a spirit-filled life, come back next week. Yeah? Because Eileen Fabregas is going to talk about walking in the Spirit. You do not want to miss next week. And this is a cliffhanger for us today, all right? But I want to close off, I want to maybe talk to two groups of people. The first group of people is for the believers, for you who have been unaware of the Holy Spirit or who have been resisting the Holy Spirit. You haven't really experienced the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You haven't really utilized the gift of the Spirit to be a blessing to others. Or you're wanting the power of the Holy Spirit so you can live a victorious life. A power that will give you the boldness to share the gospel and serve God without hesitation. Maybe we can all close our eyes and give each other some privacy. I know I told you we're going to talk about how we can live a spirit-filled life next week, how we can walk in the Spirit. But like what Joannin said earlier, I believe that God right now wants to reach out to you. And if you feel that you have been unaware or if you've been resisting the Holy Spirit, and right now you want to make a decision and say, spiritual gift, love, joy, peace,
I want to experience that. Let it manifest in my life. I want a spiritual gift so that I can be a blessing. I want the power to do supernatural things in this natural world, to be bold to share my faith. And if that's you, I believe God is looking down and said, yes, if you ask for it, I will give it to you right now. If that's you, would you raise your hand and acknowledge, God, I want the Holy Spirit. I want a Spirit-filled life. I want to live a Spirit-filled life. I want to leave my spiritless life behind, and I want to begin to walk in the Spirit. If that's you, raise your hand. Nobody's looking. It's just God acknowledging. Father, thank you for the hands. Father, I pray, Lord God, Father, even as we humble ourselves and come before you and acknowledge that, God, we need the Holy Spirit. We need more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, you will look down in favor and in response, Lord God. You will help all those who have lifted their hands to begin to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to do great works in their lives, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. While our eyes are still closed, if you're a non-believer and you've been sitting here and you begin to feel like, maybe Alfred is talking to me, I want to know about this God, I want to tell you, it's actually the Holy Spirit prompting you. Or if you feel that you're struggling with a situation and you can't seem to have a breakthrough, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is comforting you. Or maybe you're stuck in a pit in some situation that you know that you need to get out of. I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now. And if you do not know who Jesus Christ is, and if you want to receive this Holy Spirit as your God, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? I'll give it a count of three. And if you just feel the nudging, the prompting of the Holy Spirit for you to do that, on a count of three, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Thank you. Well, church, God the Father loves us so much that He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross. And when we believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, through the Holy Spirit, our life will be filled and we can live life more and life more abundantly. Father, I pray, Lord God, Father, even as we walk out from this place, oh God, Lord, may we never ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Help us to have the boldness to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Help us, oh God, Father, that God, that as we seek you, we will seek you as the Father, Jesus as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our helper, oh Lord. Bless our week, oh Lord God, Father, even as we prepare ourselves the following week for prayer and fasting, oh Lord. Help us to know that God, that you are always with us, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, I ask and pray. Amen.